Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Pastor Al, I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, now why don't you give us a call tonight? Our phone lines are open. You can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And we've got a couple things to mention here tonight, but let me certainly start off by saying happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are out there listening. Got just very slightly under 2 hours left to enjoy Father's Day. And hopefully you had a good time today or able to do something, go out to eat or have something special planned for your day today. But hopefully you had a great time for Father's Day. So happy Father's Day to you. But again, good to be with you here. And we're going to open our program with a word of prayer. And we'll get into a number of things. And as I said, you can give us a call tonight if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. The number is 888-677-9673. All right, let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity on the air tonight. We just pray that you would bless the program. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody tonight. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And Lord, we just pray in all things we could lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you here this evening. Like I said, happy Father's Day, and also a known number of the people here in the area experienced those storms that swept through the area the other night, and hopefully you were okay. Watching on the local news, and they were showing pictures, of course, some of the areas more in central Ohio, north central Ohio, and verging into the southern part of northeastern Ohio, where they had some tornadoes and stuff going through, and then pictures of hail and some of it, you know, size ping pong balls and larger, and that's big hail no matter how you look at it. Fortunately, in our place, we didn't have the wind, we didn't have the hail or anything like that, but we did have rain and we did have lightning. A lot of lightning. I've got one of those little weather station things, and it started out with no recorded lightning strikes. And within a few minutes, I had 7. And then a few minutes later, it was up into the double digits. And a few minutes later, it just kept climbing. I think by the time the evening was over, somewhere toward 2 in the morning or something like that, between midnight, 2 in the morning, we had over 130-some lightning strikes picked up in the area. And I know there had to have been more elsewhere as the storm went through, but it is kind of interesting to watch that. We certainly needed the rain rain that we had earlier. My wife and I were talking about it, and that when we had those cool days with the rain earlier in the week, that was really needed, because you know, you looked at the yards and everything, they were turning so brown. And it looked like we were in the middle of August, and it hadn't rained, at least at our place. I don't think we had any measurable rain for about a month. And my garden was looking a little peaked, but it was still managing to keep going. And that rain coming in, nice soaking rain, and it just seemed like it rained all night, rained all day, rained all night, rained all day. And it just soaked in, and it really made a difference. And then I'm glad that we had that before the heavier rain came in later in the week, because had the ground not had a chance to soak up that earlier rain and kind of get to, it's like taking a new sponge. You pour water on it, it runs off. The sponge has to absorb a little water before it becomes very absorbent. It's just kind of the way it works. But thankful for the rain. But I said, my wife and I were talking about it. They said that was like $1 million rain, because a lot of farmers were really hurting, because, yeah, let's face it, you got to have rain in order to grow crops. when I spent some time out in Colorado when I was in college, and, you know, they were used to irrigating because it's a semi-arid area out there. And so when it doesn't rain, they don't worry about it too much because they got irrigation systems in place. But here in northeastern Ohio, we usually have plenty of rain, plenty of water, and there's no need for it. It kind of hurts when you have a drought like that, dry stretch like that. So we're thankful for the rain. Praise the Lord for that. And I hope that you're doing okay. And I hope that you're having a chance to enjoy some of the beautiful weather that we've been having. Just some of these evenings have been just absolutely wonderful. And it's just been a nice stretch of weather here with the needed rain as well. So anyway, we're going to get into a couple of things here tonight. We've got some callers. Got at least one caller lined up already. And again, as I said, my name is Pastor Al Davis. I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We'll have more information on that as the program goes on, but you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, in addition to learning more about me, you can listen to past programs there. You can also read a number of articles and things that that I've got there at livewithpastoral.com. There's some links to some other materials there. I just wanted to mention, too, that you can link to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, from there as well. That's where I'm the pastor. And then there's information. You can find out more about our church there as well. I got a couple of pictures. Last week I was telling about our trip to Washington, D.C., and there's some pictures up there. And you can also see the a picture that I took on Thursday, a week ago Thursday, when we were in Washington, D.C., going by the White House. And that, of course, was the day that the smoke in the air from the Canadian forest fires was so heavy that they had their big Pride Fest celebration planned at the White House on Thursday. But the smoke was so heavy that they actually put it off until Saturday. And we were there. Lafayette Park was closed. You couldn't go into that area. Police, the Secret Service were patrolling all around it because they were getting ready for everything. But then they decided to postpone everything. And the people that were out there waiting for his remarks, for Biden's remarks, they we're all kind of in a gaggle over there in the one corner of the park. And I don't know that he ever came out to that group, but it was kind of interesting. Later on, he did manage to get his speech off and talk about the plight of the transgesters, which I thought was particularly nice of him to reach out to the transgesters. And I'm really not sure, I guess, if you remember those kind of little hats with the bells on that you think of the medieval court jesters. I guess maybe they wear them with rainbow colors, probably. But I was glad to see that the trans jesters got recognized by Joe Biden there last week. I'd really feel bad if they didn't. But, yeah, unfortunately, the pride flags were flying all over D.C., different places. And certainly, what a travesty. We talked about before the American flag being put in second place to the pride flag over the White House, and they tried to explain, well, you know, you did have the one on the pole up above the top of the White House in the superior position. And no, that's not the way the flag code works. That was a travesty there, an offense. But hey, they're giving us, telegraphing clearly their intentions and the direction they want to lead this country. But I'm just happy to know that God at least postponed their celebrations for a couple of days and inconvenienced them a little bit with the smoke. But I'm telling you, it was something else. And got back, and it was nice to have clear air and again. And, well, anyway, the smoke's still going on for wildfires. But check out us online, livewithpastoral.com. You can see some of the pictures there that the Circle of Remembrance and the prayer, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and you can see the plaque there, and just a wonderful thing. It was great to be there last year last November on Veterans Day, when Chris Long, of course, Ohio Christian Alliance was there. Bob France on our sister station, 1420, was the MC of the event. Bill Federer, who does the American Minute Update and a number of other things, was there. And a number of other people, Representative Johnson, who, of course, pushed it through in the House, was there. Senator Portman, who pushed it through in the Senate, was unable to be there. And a number of other people were gathered there last November on Veterans Day. We had an unofficial dedication of the Circle of Remembrance. It wasn't fully open to the public just yet. We were able to see it, you know, through the through some of the fencing. But it sure was nice to be able to go there and actually see it directly this past week when we were in there, the week before, I should say. So some of those pictures are on there. You can see the Circle of Remembrance. You can see what the plaque looks like. And I've got one picture there where you can look out from the plaque and you're looking into the main part of the World War II Memorial. You can see the Atlantic Arch, the Atlantic side of the World War II Memorial. And I think you can even see one of the fountain jets coming up from the water in the pool that's there. So check that out online, livewithpastoral.com. And I think with that, again, our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got Nancy, who's waiting patiently tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Thank you for taking my call.
And, good evening.
Good evening. My question today is concerning Father's Day, and happy mm-hmm. Father's Day to you.
Oh, thank you.
Psalm 27:10.
Mm-hmm.
When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And I had this roommate in college, and her mother just was constantly putting her down, and she was constantly referring to that Bible verse, and I do believe she was a Christian. Now also, I want to point to Matthew 6,
mm-hmm.
9, I believe it is.
Matthew
6, 9. After this, it's very familiar. After this manner, therefore, pray ye our Father, which art in heaven. Now, does this apply to someone? My question tonight is, and I do feel bad for those that do not have a good relationship with their father, you know, that they can call upon this verse. But what my question is, does it apply to those that aren't saved? Because Matthew 6, 9 says, our Father, does that apply to everyone or just to Christians? So if you can expound on that, thank you very much.
All right. Well, actually, Matthew 6, 9 and over there in Psalm 27, I believe it was 10. Really, I don't know that the two of those would go together, because in Matthew 6, we have the example that Jesus gave of prayer, and he was talking about prayer and talking about vain repetition that the heathen were guilty of, and he warned them not to pray with vain repetitions, etc. And so now he gives an example in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he goes into what we call the Lord's Prayer. And it's a sample prayer that he gave. A lot of people like to pray this prayer. A lot of people like to repeat it. And if you just repeat it, repeating the words without any meaning to the words, you're obviously guilty of what he just warned about in verse 7, where he said, when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously then, to pray our Father which art in heaven, this verse here would apply to believers, because remember Jesus, when he was talking to the Pharisees who rejected him as the Christ, as the Messiah, he said to them, ye are of your father the devil. And mm-hmm. so it's talking about our spiritual father here. And the only way that God in heaven is going to be our spiritual father is when we put our faith in Christ and we're adopted mm-hmm. into the family of God. Then God is our spiritual father, and we can legitimately pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But for an unsaved person, it would be an insincere prayer, a prayer which really wouldn't have much meaning because, you know, like it or not, they're not in the family of God, which puts you by default in the family of the God of this world, which is the devil's family. And we have to be adopted out of that family into the family of God. That happens when we put our faith in Christ as our Savior. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, so Matthew 6:9, that would apply to Christians. Yeah, now, born again Christians.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
I just picked that as one of many references to God our Father in the Bible. I really didn't mean that particular whole prayer.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know when someone says, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. So I just wanted to know, will the Lord take me up or be my father? For someone who's not getting along, you know, say, for example, somebody has a very adversarial relationship with their father. So I really didn't mean that particular one. I was just using that as an example of our father.
Mm-hmm.
So do you know if that would apply to an unsaved person when they say, my father will take me up?
Yeah, well, I'll kind of work backward to that. And the Our Father there. Clearly in that context, and I think elsewhere, you're looking at it for that statement to be legitimate. It's a child of God that's saying it, which, you know, of course today would apply to born again Christians. So when we go back with that in mind to, Psalm 27 is a Psalm of David. So, it's being written by a child of God. This is written from the perspective of a child of God who says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And so just like over in the example, you know, in the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven, is a recognition of believers, you know, recognizing God as their mm-hmm. spiritual father. Psalm 27 also has the same concept there, you know, David saying to God, you know, as the Lord, and his faith in God that if earthly parents were to forsake him, his heavenly father is still there for him, in that mm-hmm. sense. Now, when we look at the situation of the unsaved and, mm-hmm. We put that into this type of a passage, you know, it kind of violates the context there, mm-hmm. to where, you know, this context is a servant of God who is recognizing God. In fact, it starts the psalm in verse 1 saying, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So the psalm opens up with a testimony of God being my light and salvation and the strength of my life. And it talks about his dependence on God to protect him in the time of trouble and things of that nature. And so in a sense, when we get down to verse 10, when my father, my mother forsake me, that would mean when earthly family forsakes me, there's my heavenly father that I can still turn to, the Lord will take me up. And so, mm-hmm. you know, that tie that in with, let's see, look up to verse number 4 and 5, where he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And he continues in verse 5, for in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. He's talking about being protected by God. In fact, he continues, verse 6, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. So there's this confidence in God, and, you know, it's kind of like where elsewhere he says the arm of flesh will fail you. You know, talking about, you know, people will fail us. And sometimes when that happens, you know, the only one we can turn to is God and trust him to take care of us. So,
Well, Pastor Al, I feel really sad for the unsaved person that they cannot, call unto God to help them. You know, that always bothers me. So many prayers, it seems like they're only for the saved person, but it sure does give you an advantage to being saved, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, but the unsaved person, I was going to say the unsaved person can always pray and ask God to grant them understanding of the gospel, to reveal himself to them. And you know, the Bible talks about he that seeks will find. And I think if the unsaved person is seeking and sincere, not messing around, fooling, yeah, God, if you're really real,
right,
then, you know, do this or that. But if they're really sincere, really have a desire to know truth, then I believe God will reveal himself. And certainly it's the responsibility of believers to pray for unsaved people, that God would move upon their heart, because, of course, over in 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote that the natural man receives not the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. And so we as believers have to pray for the unsaved person in order that they can have a work of the Spirit of God in their heart to bring them understanding and insight into the message, the divine message, so that they then can have the understanding that they need in order to put their faith in Christ. And certainly the unsaved person, when they pray a prayer of salvation, and in that case, God certainly is going to hear that prayer, and he'll reach out to them, adopt them into his family, forgive them of their sin, and he puts his Spirit to live in us, and you know, then we become his child, and then we have the ability, like David here, to say, it's just, this psalm's really a good psalm. Verse 13, just look down at it. Verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And those promises are real to God's children. But again, it's that case of knowing that God is your father. And that's what David would have known, because David experienced, you know, walking with God throughout his life, from the time that he was watching his earthly father's sheep and, you know, defending them from the bear, the lion, and other things that he had to fight off. To the time that he went up against Goliath in the strength of the Lord. And then, of course, after that, when Saul was trying to kill him, and he depended on the Lord to keep him safe and alive, David knew what he was writing about and being a child of God. So.
Well, anyhow, thank you for explaining. And then I just want to emphasize, everyone who's a Christian who has lost their father, you know, hopefully in heaven, that they have their heavenly father. And so I emphasize our heavenly father myself personally on Father's Day, because he's always with us and he's perfect and he'll never leave us or forsake us. But thank you very much for taking my call, Pastor Al. God bless you and happy Father's Day.
Absolutely. And thank you, Nancy. I appreciate that. God bless you as well. And thanks for bringing that up for Father's Day for us today. It's good to look at. I appreciate that. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we've got Terry who's waiting patiently for us. We got just a couple of minutes before the break, and Terry, are you there?
Yes. How you doing?
Hi, good evening. I said you got a couple of minutes before the break, so if need be, we'll hold you over after the break. So how are you doing?
Good, I'm doing well. I was going to go to bed early tonight, and then I started listening in, and Nancy brought up a subject, and I forgot about Father's Day.
Yep, yep. And, now, you're in Canada. Do they celebrate Father's Day in Canada on this day, same day?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I know because some of the different days, you know, the same basic holiday, but sometimes on different days. And so we get, like when we were talking about Memorial Day in America, we have it on the last Monday in May. And, of course, in Canada, it's on a different day. And Thanksgiving's the same thing, if I remember correctly.
Same day.
Yeah. Now, we do have some Christmas. That we have the same, certainly, and that's Christmas and Father's Day, apparently, and different things. But yeah, happy Father's Day, and I appreciate you calling in. We got just a little over 3 minutes, I think, before the break, but we can get started here before the break comes up.
I was gonna say, unfortunately, I never had children, or I never got married, so.
Yeah.
I had an opportunity, but I chose not to. But I don't know if I chose not to or the Lord.
Sometimes we wonder, and you know, one of the big things is going to be when we get to heaven to find out why some of the things that took place in our lives that we didn't understand in this life, figuring out what the reason for that was. Some things that we think of aren't pleasant things oftentimes may have been the very thing that protected us from something worse. So never can tell.
And you know, if I would have gotten married to some of the women that I used to know, I think I would have been in trouble.
What is it? I think one of the Proverbs, Solomon, who should know a thing or two about wives, says something better to dwell in a corner than on than in a house with a, you know, a wide house with a brawling woman, something to that effect.
That's in Proverbs, right?
Yeah, one of the Proverbs, something to that effect. I'd have to look it up to get the exact words. But he had a couple colorful ones like that, you know, along those lines. But, and sometimes there are things that you can do as a single person that you can't do as a married couple, and just a variety of things. But whatever the case is, we all have an opportunity to serve in some capacity in the Lord's work. So
actually, I have more capacity to serve than a person that is married. It's a little harder for them because they have, especially if they have kids and that.
Yeah, yeah.
Before the break, I was going to mention Matthew, but chapter 6 that Nancy brought up. But anyway, if I would have got married, it would have been a totally different ballgame, I think.
Yeah.
Had kids, and sometimes I feel sorry for myself at times because I never had kids or grandchildren or anything. I was feeling a little bit self-pity the other day about that.
Well, but you know, you do influence other people, and you have opportunity to influence people with your life in other ways. As you said, some things you can't do. I remember when my wife and I were in the Samoan Islands. You know, we did not have children at the time, and it made it much easier to do some of the things that we did there when we started church there as missionaries. We had a much easier time doing certain things. We had another missionary family that came and worked with us after a while, and there were some difficulties that they had, you know, in terms of flexibility and scheduling and things like that, because of having several children that they had to also be, you know, concerned with their well-being and being taken care of. And when we come back from the break, maybe we can touch on some of the things. But Paul, remember, he talked about how some of the disciples like Peter were able to, or apostles like Peter were able to lead a wife around with them. But Paul was, you know, busy, you know, without a spouse traveling with him. And he had a lot more flexibility and didn't have to worry about his wife's needs and things of that nature. But I hear the music coming up there, and we've got a few seconds, and we've got a short break coming up. Terry, if you can hold, we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. And again, encourage everybody to stay tuned. because we've got another hour and a half to go. So stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll be able to join in with us in the conversation here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And again, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there tonight. And I wanted to mention that you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Number of things that are available there. You can learn more about me, about the program, and you can check out some of our social media sites there. And you can link to the webpage for our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, which, of course, is the main sponsor of the program, and I'm the pastor there, and you can find out more about our church there as well. And we're also sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. And if you're out on the east side, even if you're on the west side, it's well worth the drive. East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. That's right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can give East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100, and let them know that you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al, Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And also, along with that, If you're interested in getting into your own business, call East Coast Pizza. Talk to Gus. That's 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Talk to Gus. He can help you get set up in your own pizza business. It's not a franchise. It's your own business, and he'd be glad to help you out. So give Gus a call at East Coast Pizza. 216-341-9100 and find out how you can get started in that business yourself. Or if you just rather buy one that somebody's made for you, I certainly encourage you to check out East Coast Pizza right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights. Give them a call, 216-341-9100, and let them know you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. All right, well, we're going to get back into our program, and we were talking with Terry before the break came up, and I believe Terry is still waiting there for us. Terry, still there?
Yes.
All right, well, welcome back, and now we've got a little more time, so let's catch up where we were.
It's one thing I was going to mention before I mentioned chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer.
Right.
I was going to mention that I get up early in the morning at 6:30, but unlike you, I'm a nighthawk. Even though I know I have to get up early in the morning, I'm still up.
I know it can be done. It can be done, but it doesn't make it enjoyable.
No, but I've always been like that all my life. Well, I shouldn't say all my life, but I mean, I get up early in the morning. I go to bed at night. I don't see the night too much. I go to bed at midnight and get up early in the morning.
Yeah, you know, and speaking of that, this time of year, especially in the northern hemisphere, and you're further north than I am, I'm on the south side of Lake Erie, you're on the north side of Lake Erie, but when I was in the Air Force, I was stationed in England. I was about 60 miles north of London, and that put me about as far north as I believe it was the southern end of Hudson Bay. There, you know, that kind of that, it's like a bay in Hudson Bay, that big area there in the southern end of Hudson Bay. That's about how far north I was. And at this time of year, I would actually go in sometimes, into the building that we worked in because of the nature of our work. We had no windows or anything, and I would go in, being in England that far north, I had to be in early in the morning, and like you said, getting up at 5:30 or whatever. I'm trying to remember exactly what time I had to be in there. I just know I had to be in, and I had to have the commander's reading file put together by the time he came in, or at least more or less put together. He said, as long as the coffee's ready, that's okay. He would sit and read the Stars and Stripes and drink coffee while I put the finishing touches on his reading file. But he would come in about 7 in the morning, and so I had to be in there easily by 6:30 in the morning or earlier, in order to pick up the message traffic from the comm center. And then, because being that far north in England, in this time of the year, you know, the long days, I would get up in the morning, it would already be bright. You know, there would be no darkness. And then I would be inside of a windowless building all day unless I came out. You know, I'd be inside the building all day and then leave in the late afternoon and go home, and I would go to bed because I had to be up early, so I would be to bed before it ever got dark. And so I remember at this time of year, I would not see the night. And the flip side of that, of course, was in the winter time when you had the short days in the winter, being that far north, I would get up in the morning, it would still be dark. I would drive to the base. I lived off base at the time. I would go in into the building, and when I went through the security checkpoint and got into the building, no windows. It would be dark except for the lights in the building, and I would be in the building oftentimes all day. And by the time I got done at the end of the day, it was already dark outside, so I would not see the sun. So that was the flip side of it.
Depressing.
But, you know, I mean, it was interesting. It was an interesting place to work and to be and to read. And so, you know, I'd get all the message traffic in, put the commander's reading file together, and we had some good conversations. He was a good guy, the one commander there in particular. He was a really nice guy. And I learned a few things, and so it was kind of interesting. We were at the Spy Museum in Washington, D.C., when we were there the week before last, and my kids were asking, you know, is there going to be anything here that you can't tell us about? And I actually did see an exhibit on a particular case where you had a Navy case. I was in the Air Force. We had a Navy case that came out the same while I was in there, and it was the Walker spy case. It was cryptographers in the U.S. Navy, and they had a spy ring going on. It was a father and son, and it was interesting. They had a pretty good display on it. So while we were there, there were some things that previously I wasn't able to talk about, but since it was in a display, I could talk about it. And it was kind of interesting because it went into a lot of details. He had a lot of the codes and things that he was given to the Russians during the Cold War, Soviet Union. And what was really interesting was they talked about how the wife of the son, I believe it was, is the one who ratted them out. And of course, the rest of the story is, and this goes to the larger issue of what causes people to spy or commit espionage or you know, give secrets away. And one of the big things is love of country. And ironically, those in the Soviet Union, Russia during the Cold War, it was usually love of country that caused them to be more likely to give up secrets to the West. And another one was women. Obviously, that was another one, love of women. And then the third one was the love of money. And in order to get Americans in particular to give up secrets to the Russians, the Soviets, it was usually money that motivated the most. And that was the same with the Walker spy case. And the son, I believe it was, he was in the process of divorcing his wife. And so because he was leaving her, she was leaving him, whichever the case was, they cut off the money to her. And because they cut off the money, she ratted him out. See, if he'd have given her a nice chunk of money, they'd have probably kept going for a while. But it is ironic how some of these things work out sometimes. At any rate,
it all boils down to money. The love
yeah,
of money.
Well, and that's what the Bible says, the love of money, not money itself. The love of money is the root of all evil. And, you know, if you took the money out of the illegal drug trade, it would dry a lot of that up because many of the people who are involved in that are in it because they love money and they want money. But it's kind of interesting when you see how these things work out, and you know, it illustrates the truths that we see in the Bible. Speaking of all money,
you notice that a lot of the products, and I don't know about there, but in our country, a lot of the products they're charging more money. Plus the product is not, it cut back on the product.
Now see there you go. I have on good authority, Uncle Joe has assured us down here that there's no inflation. It's all your imagination. Just because you find that the bags of chips are half filled and the cans of whatever are smaller and the prices are up, that doesn't mean there's inflation now. See, you just, I mean, Uncle Joe wouldn't lead us wrong, would he?
Yeah. I know. And it's pretty funny.
Yeah. No, I mean, definitely.
I went and got a bowl of chili the other day, and it was mostly water, and I went back and complained. I went and complained about it. I said, got a bowl of chili and it was mostly water. I don't think the person stirred the pot when they gave me the bowl of chili. And they gave me another bowl of chili, and it was the same thing. So they've been watering the chili down.
Well, They're watering a lot of things down, I think so. But anyway, I mean, it's just we live, as Paul said, in perilous times, and evil men and seducers, he said, would wax worse and worse. And you know, when you watch some of our world leaders in action, it's very clear that Paul's words are coming true every day. So, but I think we've gone a bit afield from where you were asking a question there. So
we'll
let it rein ourselves back here.
Yeah, I was going to mention that I've been studying Matthew.
Yes, that's where we were.
And Romans, too, but mm-hmm. I've been going back and forth. But and I've been doing in the Torah, too, but anyway. Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer. And the one good thing that that Jesus always gave glory to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Our Father who art in heaven."
Right.
He humbled himself as a man, and he always gave, he humbled to show us how we should worship the Lord and make the Father number one.
Right,
first
right.
It was the Father, then it was the Son, then it was the Holy Spirit.
And it also, too, as I was telling Nancy earlier, this is an example of how we ought to pray. And when we pray, the first thing we ought to do is just like he says, we ought to recognize that we're his children. And that makes us, or should say it makes a recognition that we're subservient to him, not that he is subservient to us. He is the Father, we are the children. And that's the way the prayer starts out, basically, our Father which art in heaven, remembering our position. And remembering that he is our spiritual father and what we owe him. And then we go into the prayer based on that understanding. Too many people go into prayer with God kind of the opinion, our Father, the genie of the lamp, they think that by praying a certain way, they're going to get their three wishes or whatever. And it's not the way it works. God is not a genie in a lamp that you approach him in this certain way and bingo, you get your greatest wishes granted. It's not the way it works.
And it says that Jesus didn't say pray to the Son, to him, or pray to the Spirit. He said pray to the Father.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, and that's how he humbled himself. Like he showed us he was an example for us to live.
Well, and it's like we've talked about before, when we look at the Trinity of God, which a lot of people struggle with this concept, and they try to come up with different ways to do it, to explain it and to try and make it understandable. But as I've said many times, the simplest way to understand the Trinity, and this will tie in with what Jesus is saying here when he's giving the example of our Father, is to remember that in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And then in verse 27, it says, "So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." And then in chapter 2, and in verse number 7, where it gives the details, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." This is because we're created in God's image. God is a triune being. He's not three separate gods. He's one God, but he consists of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But it's one God. When he created Adam in chapter 2, he created one man. He didn't create three Adams. He created one man, but Adam was also, because he was creating the image of God, he was a triune being that was created. He had a body. He formed man of the dust of the ground. That's the body. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Breath and spirit are synonymous. So there's the spirit. And man became a living soul. So when we compare this idea of a body, a spirit, and a soul, and the soul, of course, would be that thinking part of you, the emotion, the intellect, the will part of us. So the body, of course, corresponds to God the Son. The spirit corresponds to God the Holy Spirit. And that leaves the soul to correspond to God the Father. And that picture is illustrated when Jesus, you know, prayed, "Our Father, which art in heaven," over in Matthew chapter 6. He was showing the subservience of the Son to the Father. It was also illustrating the fact that our body is not the one that's in control. It's not supposed to be in control. Our soul should be in control, if you think about it. And, of course, the way that Jesus was able to do the things that he did, too, was because of the Spirit of God that empowered him for his ministry. And, of course, that's the same thing for us. You know, when someone dies, the spirit is gone. The soul and spirit leave the body, and you can keep cells going. You know, they do it all the time. Organ transplants, they have the heart, they put it in a cooler, and they take it away to give it to somebody that needs a heart or the lungs or whatever part. And those cells are still alive, but the person is dead. They can keep those cells alive, even put that organ into another person, and those cells will continue to live. But the person that heart or those lungs or the cornea or whatever belonged to, that person has died because the spirit of life had left that body. And so the body was unable to do anything on its own. In fact, the only way that that donated organ can work in the recipient's body is because the recipient has a spirit of life in them that then orchestrates and helps that donated organ to continue to live and grow in them because they have a spirit of life. But when you take the spirit of life away, the person dies. And so again, we're a picture, and Jesus pictured that there. Our body should be in subjection to our soul, not the other way around, which means that we don't just do things because we react in the flesh, even though that happens. In fact, we have the expressions that say, "Well, I'm sorry, I wasn't thinking, I just got in the flesh." You know,
and the carnal mind is death, but the spiritual mind is life and peace.
Right,
the
right.
The mind is the soul.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what I'm saying.
I was going to say something back then. Back then, they weren't heart surgeons or brain surgeons back then.
No, no.
So they didn't really know the difference.
Yeah, but and that goes back there to Matthew chapter 6 again, where you know when Jesus, God the Son, is giving the illustration, and you see that in his own prayers when he refers to the Father as his Father. And he asks him what he should do, and he says that his role is to do that which the Father tells him to do and to say that which the Father tells him to say. Well, that's a perfect illustration of how our physical body should be in subjection to our soul. And then, of course, it's our spirit that empowers everything, because if you didn't have a living spirit in you, you would not be able to do anything. And then, of course, when you get saved, you have the Spirit of God, which communes with us through our spirit. And so now we have a new spirit living is able to correspond with, communicate with God and, you know, leads us into spiritual things.
And so, I was going to say that the father had his job, and the son had his job.
Mm-hmm.
Because the son said, "The father is greater than I."
Well, yeah, in terms of authority and responsibility.
Yeah.
I just look at the clock; we're running out of time here.
Yep.
But I was going to say, it's God the Father who had the role of making the plans, coming up with what would be done, just like we ought to with our minds, with our soul, make the plans, what we're going to do. Then the body carries out what our soul plans, and so Jesus carried out what the Father planned to do. God came up with the plan of creation. Jesus carried out the act of creation. And then it was the Spirit of God that empowered him to be able to do that. So all parts, body, soul, and spirit, work together, just like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all work together in the work that God has to do. And it's not three gods, no more than you or I are three persons.
Yeah, and these occult religions all say that that the Muslims believe that we believe in three gods. But anyway,
yeah, a number of people will say that, but it's simply not true. It's a misunderstanding they have. Yeah, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Just like you're one person, body, soul, and spirit, and I'm one person, body, soul, and spirit. But hey, we're coming up on the yep. end of the hour there, Terry, and we'll have to let you get some sleep because you're going to probably be up early getting on the roof. Don't need you falling asleep off the roof there. So not a good way to end your day. But again, always good to hear from you. Thank you, Terry, for the call. And we have got another hour to go here. We're going to take a break in just a couple of minutes here, I believe. And I just want to give out our numbers if you want to get on for the next hour. 888-677-9673. Terry, I guess we got 2 minutes here. I thought we had 1 minute, so a little bit off, but that's okay. Final thought before you go, Terry.
Jesus couldn't do everything that the Father did. He said what the Father does, I do. But I mean, he came down like part, or how do you do it?
Well, in the flesh, Jesus took on limitations, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Otherwise, he couldn't have dwelt among us. And then, of course, he did everything that the Father told him to do. God planned it out, as I said. So God did it in terms of the planning. Jesus did it in terms of the action.
And that's what people get so confused. What people don't get so confused about, if they don't believe that Jesus is God manifested in the flesh,
well,
they'll never understand the Trinity. Never.
Yeah, and they'll never understand the gospel either. So
right.
It's impossible to be saved without understanding the deity of Christ, and so it's very important that people understand that. So, very good things to consider and to remember here on this Sunday night as we close out Father's Day. But appreciate that, Terry. And have a good week, and God bless. And we will probably catch up with you, I'm sure, next week. So thanks for your call there
Lord
tonight. All right, thanks. And again, as I started to say, we've got another hour to go, so don't go away. Stay tuned and give us a call if you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Great time to get in, but we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. During the Cold War, pictures depicting Jesus Christ in workman's coveralls holding a hammer and sickle crossed over his chest were circulated throughout Latin America, promoting liberation theology by proclaiming Jesus was a communist. Liberation theology, birthed in the bowels of the KGB headquarters in Moscow, was an effort to subvert churches, getting them to promote communism rather than warning against it. At the same time, communists and their leftist sympathizers infiltrated Christian seminaries and churches throughout North America and Europe. Again, the goal was to subvert churches, getting them to promote communism rather than warning against it. Today, we see the fruit of those efforts. Churches that should be sounding the alarm against communism are either silent or promoting it. God says, "Come out from among them." This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. True churches and faithful Christian leaders are sounding the alarm.